Welcome to Medicus, a student-run podcast about any and all things in the world of medicine. Follow along as we interview outstanding individuals about important topics in healthcare. Hi guys, welcome back to Medicus. My name is Rasa, and today I am sitting down with my fellow podcaster, Sarah, to talk about her awesome experience over the summer working at NASA. Hey, Sarah, it's great to have you here.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Can you tell our listeners a bit more about yourself and your journey to medicine?
Sure. So I'm originally from Boston. I'm a second year medical student, so started medical school in the fall of 2022. I graduated from UMass Amherst in 2020 with a degree in biology, so took two gap years in between. Spent one of them doing COVID research and the other one working as a medical assistant in an orthopedics clinic, and then found my way to Loyola. First year, got interested in a bunch of different research topics and was poking around different ideas within the ophthalmology department, and then came across something called SANS, which is spaceflight-associated neuroocular syndrome. And then that kind of led me to discovering that I might be able to do an internship at NASA, which would be pretty cool. So I ended up applying and I got lucky enough to get the spot.
That's awesome. So can you tell me more about the program, how you found out about it, who is it open to, and the application process?
Definitely. So I found out about the internship in kind of a roundabout way. I think most people applying to a NASA internship are through an undergrad institution, or they're through a grad program, but it's more common to have undergrads apply to a NASA internship. And it's also common for those students to be in some sort of engineering field. How I came about it was talking to ophthalmologists at our school and finding out about this research program, and then realizing that we actually wouldn't have the grant to conduct the research in time before my graduation. So I still wanted to contribute to the field and I wanted to do that work. So I tried to get in touch with the PI of the lab, and then in that process came across the fact that NASA internships existed. The plan was to just apply, and I was lucky. It really worked out in my favor. So I would encourage anyone interested to just apply. You never know what could happen. And that's especially important for people who don't have the exposure to space medicine or aerospace medicine, or really whatever you're interested in that NASA is doing. Because in the life sciences, I think it's understudied and it's a new field relatively. So it's important to have people learning about it, knowing about it, and also going into it.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm guessing you found this application on the NASA website, and your specific role, is that only open for medical students, or is it part of like the whole undergrad grad process you were talking about?
I'm not entirely sure if it changes year to year, but yes, you're right. I did find the link online and I can see if there's one open for the summer, or just the general link I can try to find and drop below in our episode description. But for when I applied, there's basically different, almost like divisions. They call them directorates. So I was under the Human Health and Performance Directorate for the summer. And so what I ended up doing was actually just applying to a spot within that directorate. So it was just a general listing. And then within the application, I could further specify what I was interested in particular. So if I had a lab I was interested in working with, then I would kind of list that and tailor my application to that aspect of it. So since I was interested in SANS, that's what I did with the cardiovascular and vision lab. So I was talking more about ophthalmology and SANS and how that would relate to spaceflight long-term and why I wanted to help contribute to that field. But there's also different aspects of aerospace medicine you can do research in. So there's like a vestibular lab, there's bone density, there's radiation. So really any aspect of medicine applies to space medicine, because the body still exists in space.
Stuff still happens and molecules move around. So what inspired you to spend your summer doing this work? I know you mentioned like maybe you were looking at opto research, or is it specifically that you were interested and looking for an opportunity to like incorporate space medicine, or did space medicine just kind of like fall into your lap?
A little bit of both. I was really interested first year in just exploring as many different aspects of medicine as possible. Mm-hmm. I knew I was interested in a few different specialties, but I didn't really want to commit myself to one in particular. I really wanted to use the time to explore, because as a first year, you have that time to shadow, you have that time to start getting to know people. And I've always liked doing research to a degree. And I was looking for, you know, that research topic that really just like sparks your interest.
Yeah.
So that's something I've always been wanting to find. And I've found in the past, and I think, you know, your interests change and you want to work on, I don't know, maybe it's me, but I've always wanted to work on a bunch of different things. And my interests have been so broad that it's always been so hard to decide. So the space aspect of it, I just thought it was a really cool topic at first because it was different. It was something I hadn't even heard of before, and I just wanted to learn more about. And then I've also just kind of been a space nerd my whole life. It's kind of been something that's fallen out of the picture and back into the picture. You know, everyone wants to be an astronaut when they're young. And then I've always been the kid that you have to pull in after stargazing for like 3 hours because everyone's cold. I would still just be staring at the sky. So like, I think there's elements where there's like a personal connection to it that I've always kind of had this underlying interest in space. I grew up in Boston, so we had like WGBH and everything. And one of the series on there is Nova. And it was like all these science documentaries, basically, mm-hmm. you watch. And they had like a space and relativity series. And I would watch that series and I would go into my room, like in middle school and high school. And I would go like in my little notebook and I would write down physics equations and try
That's
to like
so nerdy.
Solve them.
I love that.
And then that kind of fell off. And then I was like, oh, I really want to do medicine. But, you know, always had these varied interests. So yes to both. I think it was something that fell into my lap, but I think it fell into my lap kind of at a weird moment in life where I could combine the two interests. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool. And I would also encourage people to, if they have multiple interests, try to find ways that they can intersect, because I didn't even realize that a field like this existed. I mean, I think it's also a good lesson in redefining what you think is possible to do.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense, professionally, I think sometimes we're pressured to kind of fit into one box or be super focused on one particular thing. And that is useful and has its purpose, but you don't have to be. And there's multiple different ways you can contribute to medicine. So
definitely. And folks can listen to your episode with Dr. Barrett on Medicus, where you interviewed him about his career as a astronaut physician extraordinaire. So now that we got the basics out of the way, can you talk about what the program entailed and your specific responsibilities for the summer?
So NASA internships in the broad sense vary in their responsibility, and that depends. I'll talk just straight from a life science background, very broad in what you do, and it depends on which lab you're a part of. So since I was part of the cardiovascular and vision lab, we worked on a project on venoconstrictive thigh cuffs, which is a countermeasure to mitigate the headward fluid shift that occurs in spaceflight. So basically what happens when you go up into space is instead of your blood kind of collecting towards your feet because of gravity, you are now weightless. And so it's more of an even distribution of blood and fluid throughout your body. And so the net effect is that you have more fluid going towards your head. And so a lot of times you see people on the space station and their heads look a little swollen. And that's why.
I mean, I haven't paid attention enough to see that, but now I definitely will.
Yeah. But more importantly than the aesthetic portion is the aspect that can get quite uncomfortable, and it can start to really take a toll on people. And we don't want that to happen or that to impact mission performance at all. So one thing that we're trying to do is come up with a venoconstrictive thigh cuff, which will help trap the fluid in your legs.
Mm-hmm.
So as much of it won't travel towards your head as it would normally in space. And actually, these are not a new concept. The Russians have a version of this, but
we're working on one and working on further specifying it in anticipation of its use on an upcoming in-flight study.
And so hopefully that mitigates the symptoms. So that was mainly my job this summer. But NASA internships, I think in general, also provide you with a really great networking opportunity to really learn and explore within the world of space. And that's within medicine and also outside of medicine. So there's a bunch of different lectures you can go to pretty much all the time. Too many opportunities to learn. We had something called the Space Life Sciences Summer Institute. And that was basically a series where someone pretty much from each of the life science labs would come in every Monday and give us all a lecture.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be about some topic in the lab or where we're going with the Artemis missions or really anything. And I thought, as a medical student, I think it's the most interesting thing. But then we also had lectures where we got to learn about mishaps and other things related to engineering and safety. And so really all over the map. So adult Disney World for nerds. Yeah.
Heck yeah. That sounds amazing. So I think what's really interesting, two things I want to pick apart a little bit. One, I think as a layperson, most of us would think of NASA as being exclusively like, all right, we build rocket ships and we send them into space. I think most people don't realize all of this research that goes on behind the scenes. All these things, like you said, from human health to like the foods that you can take up in space and all of that. So it must have been so fascinating to be able to interact with people who are really thinking about how we can put people in space safely.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, I mean, that's something I didn't realize either. And the summer really opened my eyes to that too, where it's not just about the technology and the rockets and physically getting people into space or on the moon or Mars. It's also about how we keep them happy and how we keep them alive, right?
Right.
And there's a lot of planning that goes into that and a lot of issues that really have to be worked to the detail. So that's my hope, is I can hopefully contribute to some of that someday. It's a really cool place to be. And I think that the way I view NASA now is that it's just another place that does science. Mm-hmm. It's just doing it applied in a very specific way. That's the whole point, is to conduct science. And some of that's biological science. Some of that's human science. The astronauts themselves sign up to participate in human health studies to better understand the human body. So yeah, it is much more than just rockets.
That's really fascinating. So regarding your research, I think one issue that always comes up in science is sample size. And I cannot imagine that you have a lot of samples due to the fact that, you know, we don't really send a ton of people out into space. So how exactly are you able to test out these pieces of equipment? Yeah, just curious how you're able to control for that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's, you've touched upon something that I remember I was thinking in the beginning of the summer too. Like, how is that, can we draw like real hefty conclusions off of these studies? And how, you know, how much can we take this into account, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that the way the field seems to approach it is, yes, these are going to be, compared to the rest of science, very low sample size studies, like 20 or 30, right? But there are statistical analysis that can still be done, right? Mm-hmm. And I think like that's a piece of it. But then as we look towards the future, pretty rapidly, I mean, we're already kind of starting to see a shift into commercial crew spaceflight. And I think for better or for worse, that will expand our sample size. And there are commercial companies that are also focusing on this intersection between the commercial aspect of the travel, but then also the research side. So there's like a translational aspect. So I think that's an interesting avenue that will start to pop up more in the future, or at least that I'm excited to see.
Yeah, and that's totally understandable. I think my question in regards to that then is, how long does it take to get something from the lab up into space for usability, right? Typically, like if you think, for example, of the FDA process, and obviously what I'm asking you is of your opinion and of what you've seen, not some claim made by NASA. So you're obviously speaking on your own opinions. But, you know, when I think of the regulatory process of getting a drug to market, it's very long, you know, years and years of research, starting with animal studies, going into thousands of humans. So I guess I'm curious how, from your experience or any research that you did, how long it takes to get something for actual usability for the astronauts?
So I'll be honest, I don't know the answer. I'm sure it depends on what the product is, but I think it also depends on what it's being used for.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a certain element of risk assessment to anything that's being used up in space, especially regarding human health. So usually what seems to happen from what I've observed is the study or object or pill or whatever is going up there, right? Whatever effect is first studied on the ground. And then it slowly gets transitioned into the spaceflight environment.
Probably the first thing in assessing is mainly the risk, right? And the risk that it would pose, just because obviously if something goes awry in space, you don't have all the bells and whistles of a hospital down here. Although we do have physicians up in space, you know, it would be probably harder to control.
Yeah, I think that to some degree, so I don't think there's always a physician up in space, but different crew members will take on the role of crew medical officer. So mm-hmm. if there is a physician on board that happens to be an astronaut, they usually take on that role, but a few people get trained in that role. So it's a lot of emergency medicine type care, but also that's where you get the aerospace medicine specialty coming in, because it's applied to this more extreme environment.
What was your favorite part of this whole experience, and what perhaps was your least favorite part?
I don't have a least favorite part. I know that sounds corny, but there's literally no least favorite part. Actually, no, that's not true. My least favorite part was that I had to leave. But no, my favorite part was, I think, the people, just meeting a lot of different people and learning about so many different things.
Yeah.
It was the kind of experience where you're just soaking up information like a sponge, and you're just learning so much. And there's always so much more to learn. And the field is so young and progressing that you just want to kind of jump on the train and keep going with it. I feel that way now still. I'm still like reading more. I still read chapters of a textbook. I still go online and look up things, and I'm reading articles. And that enthusiasm, I think, is hard for me to find in mm-hmm. any particular subject. So I've hopped on the train and I'm just riding it. So yeah, favorite part, definitely the diversity of experiences that you have and the people that you get to talk to in different disciplines. So systems engineering, got to talk to some neutral buoyancy lab divers who helped the astronauts train in simulations for spacewalks. I got to talk to people in a vestibular lab, studying the brain, studying bones, all over the place.
That's really amazing. Wow, what an opportunity. So I know we talked about, you'll go and find us a link to drop in the show notes where people can go and figure out if they want to apply for this program. Do you have any parting words of advice, wisdom for anyone who might be considering doing something like this with their summers?
Just apply. Just apply. Just go for it. You will have a 100% chance of not getting it if you don't apply. Always apply to everything, even if it seems way out of your reach. And apply to many things too. It doesn't have to be the only thing you do, the one thing that you want. And life will surprise you.
Well, thanks so much, Sarah, for sharing your experience and hopefully inspiring other medical students to try applying for NASA and perhaps spending their summer really learning about space medicine and all the various aspects that go into it.
Anytime. Happy to speak more on it.
Thanks for listening to this episode. This wouldn't be possible without the support from our listeners. Please rate, review, and subscribe. We appreciate donations to help fund the production of this podcast. To support us, go to medicuspodcast.com, where you can additionally find show notes, links, and information about our guests. We are at Medicus Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you have any questions, comments, or episode suggestions, please submit them on our website. This podcast is intended for general information purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine. No patient-doctor relation is formed, and the content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Views and opinions are their own and do not represent any organization.